course, the Minister of Health, and then it goes away for a little bit, and then it pops up again, and then it goes away for a bit, and it pops up again. But the key question is, where are we with it? And of course, President Cyril Ramaphosa saying that the program still has his full support. So the next obvious question is, where to from here? And we're going to have a bit of a debate, and I'm going to ask both gentlemen participating in this one, both Dr. Rajesh Patel as well as Morne Malan, to try to address the issues directly to me. And of course, if there is any disagreements, this is a debate after all. I will allow each party an opportunity to state their case. I'll start off with Morne Malan, who is the senior researcher at Solidarity's Research Institute. Good evening to you, and thank you for joining us.
Evening, Gershwell.
In brief, your understanding of NHI, of course, Solidarity's Research Institute has come out and said that, listen, we're not in favor of this particular model. We have certain concerns. Can you just briefly explain to us what is your understanding of NHI and what are your concerns surrounding it?
Gershwell, our primary concern is that the NHI is basically just a means by which to open the door towards nationalization of healthcare. And we believe that nationalization, government providing all health care, is neither economically nor practically feasible. We believe that there is a crisis in health care at the moment, mm-hmm. but that the crisis is born from incompetence on government side, and that this won't be cured by laying claim to more power.
So just to ask very simply, I mean, many countries have an NHI-like model. I mean, we're looking at, for example, countries that have been hailed for their health care that they provide. Particularly Cuba comes to mind, and they very much preventative in nature, and therefore you do not see some of the health concerns that you see in some developing states, for example, with far greater budget. You have the UK that has had their healthcare model for quite some time, freely accessible to the public. That is also hailed globally as being a best practice model. What is your concern around the idea of being able to spread healthcare evenly amongst all people? I mean, that is probably the most obvious issue that would be raised, based on your objection.
Yes, of course. The issue raised is one of equality. Whereas we believe that we should take into account rather the net impact, be it positive or negative. And beyond the fact that those other examples that you mentioned do generally tend to have better economies, they tend to have less corruption and more efficiency. But beyond that, even in these countries where you do find a semi-workable version of a national healthcare system, such as Canada, we see research indicating that in Canada, between the years 1993 and 2015, there was a fourfold increase in waiting times for medically necessary treatment. You mentioned the UK. We've seen rationing in the UK. We've seen it in Sweden. We've seen it in Estonia. So almost all these systems, in fact, let me amend that statement, all of these systems did not represent an improvement upon the previous system. There are better and worse instantiations of these systems, but it's almost always had a net negative effect with regard to the healthcare of the entire population.
100%. Morne, I'll just ask you to give Dr. Rajesh Patel an opportunity to respond. He's, of course, the head of benefit and risk at the Board of Healthcare Funders of Southern Africa. Now, Dr. Rajesh, I mean, you are the head of benefit and risk of the Board of Healthcare Funders of Southern Africa. So in other words, you would have an understanding of the funding model that would be required for a scheme such as NHI. I mean, one of the biggest criticisms of the NHI model is, in essence, how deep our pockets are as it stands at the moment versus how much deeper it would need to be to accommodate a system like NHI successfully. Can you explain why this would then work based on the current proposition?
Good evening, Gershwell, and good evening to the listeners. I think just to start and answer the question about the money issues is a little premature. Mm-hmm. The previous speaker had said that we've got problems in the health system. Mm-hmm. It's fundamentally flawed. There's gross inequity in the current system. So, and there's lack of accountability, and those are things he commented on. Mm-hmm. If one looks at what he's commented on other problems, are not the concept. but how the concept is implemented. And I think that's where I fundamentally disagree with the previous speaker. We, you know, universal health care coverage comes from WHO. It's a fantastic concept of everyone having access to equal care, eliminating inequity, etc. And NHI is a vehicle to implement that and to achieve universal health care coverage.
Okay.
So we must make sure we don't distinguish how things might be run versus the concept. So the concept is a very good one. Philosophically, in every other aspect, it's fundamentally sound.
Mm-hmm.
The question that we need to ask is, how does this translate into a better health system? And we can look at it from a perspective, the current health system, there's very little accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Largely because your provinces are a regulator, they're a service provider, and they're a funder.
Mm-hmm.
You have a clinic that doesn't deliver on any care. Next month, guess what? The budget allocation will be there. They will get their money.
Mm.
Whereas with the NHI, you are separating service provision from funding. And it simply means you deliver service, you get funding. The old scenario of you get automatically a budget allocation without delivering service is something that would be removed. So what the new implementation of NHI starts creating an environment to introduce the accountability element, which is not there right now and hasn't been there for a while.
Now, understand continue. So
one of the arguments that says, no, we don't like NHI, it must go and fix the current system, then what is being argued is that the split system that we have, the well-to-do get some good private care and the rest get, you know, very little, that kind of inequity must be perpetuated and continued into the future. It's fundamentally flawed. We can't allow that type of thing in a country like ours, where the resources for health is limited, but the needs are quite significant.
Resources
and apply it in a way that benefits everyone.
Now, on that basis, Doctor, I mean, the biggest concern here would be, and I'm pretty sure that Mornay, if I give him an opportunity to chime in, would highlight this as a concern, is the fact that, you know, it goes back to that good old model where, you know, years back, the term was saying that standards would be dropped. Standards are going to be dropped. I mean, isn't that a major concern where you see that our public healthcare system, I wouldn't say is necessarily floundering in all facets, but all too often we're constantly reading about the pressures that the national healthcare, public healthcare system is facing. Isn't that a concern that is something that will then spill over and in essence dilute the healthcare, the quality healthcare that we're receiving at the moment, both at state as well as private level?
No, let me put it this way. I think when you introduce this type of thing, standards are not likely to drop. If you look at the professional standards, they're more or less similar in the past and will probably continue. The standards also between public and private are very similar. And just to put it on record, there's big problems of quality even in the private sector right now. We don't have the time to go into the details, but there's big problems on quality that needs to be fixed in the private sector as well. But the critical component is what was highlighted. When you introduce NHI, because we have limited resources, you can't give everyone whatever they want. And yes, that results, and because it's limited budget, what does happen is you start introducing some element of rationing. And we always talk about, even in the current funding, private funding environment, the way there is rationing happening, but it's done in a rational manner. You don't necessarily limit people in accessing everything. You decide and do it by research, etc. What is it that can provide the best impact to the public? You make sure you fund those things first.
So, Mornay,
a new method of determining what benefits you put on offer, what you achieve with that, and what you end up getting in the health system. So it's like a complete restructuring of the health system in the right direction.
So, Mornay, of course, based on what Dr. Rajesh had just obviously outlined there, the key question then for many would be, what is the ultimate objection for raising the bar in terms of the access that people are receiving and the quality healthcare that people are receiving when it comes to people who are obviously dependent on state healthcare. Why is it that there is a concern? And at the moment, people with medical aid, people with deep pockets, are the ones that don't necessarily get any treatment that they so wish, but almost guaranteed to a large extent quality healthcare. Why is it that we can't expend that pie, so to speak?
Look, Gershwal, before we go on to that point, I just think that Dr. Rajesh is somewhat underplaying the degree of poor standards within the public healthcare sector. According to the OHSC, only 25 of the 3,500 public healthcare facilities pass the minimum requirements. I mean, we've seen the Life is a Dimeni tragedy. We saw what happened at Charlotte Makteke. And most recently, we've seen issues with non-payment of medical interns. Now, imagine a situation where all healthcare practitioners, I mean, we referred to funding earlier, under NHI, all healthcare practitioners would have to rely on government for payment. Now, with regard to the inequity, I agree that there is a huge inequity, but the diagnosis, largely, Dr. Rajesh and I agree, but with regard to a solution, I do believe there are better solutions and there are better examples within Africa itself. So there are better systems such as a coupon system, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Ghana uses. And it's a much better system wherein which one can leverage the good healthcare standards of the private sector in order to make it more accessible to everybody rather than having the public sector swallow the private sector.
So if you can just explain and expand on what is this coupon system and how does it actually work? I mean, apart from just simply giving people access to private healthcare, the obvious and immediate assumption is that if I'm someone that's dependent on public healthcare and I get I'm a participant in this public or not public this coupon system, that I don't necessarily have to pay the expenses out of my pocket for being referred to private healthcare in certain instances.
Yes. Well, just to explain it to you in very simple terms, it would basically take government out of the business of healthcare, and it would, rather than all of the public expenditure currently on healthcare, government can work out a per capita basis for all individuals currently in the public healthcare system. So they can work out an annual spend per person. They can allocate a specific amount of funds to that person per year, to a specific family per year. And there are wonderful systems, electronic systems, where that can be uploaded, that those funds can be uploaded onto one's cellular device, or one can receive a card, and those funds will only be redeemable at private healthcare facilities. Once one starts to do that, you start to incentivize the public sector, the private sector, to provide services to a broader range of people rather than the current base.
Dr. Rajesh, I mean, I'm going to come back to you, and it is a question that is almost inescapable. I mean, of course, you did mention that we can't get into the details, or that we shouldn't be discussing the details of the funding at this stage. But I mean, at the center of this debate, it does seem that money is of an important, holds important merit in this conversation, because we need to talk about whether the money is actually available to roll out the program in such a way that someone like myself, who's currently on medical aid for specific reasons and accessing private healthcare, still feels safe and comfortable with this new model.
Happy to cover that. I think what we need to understand is we mustn't confuse NHI as a vehicle for the problem versus the administration. And using Ghana as an example, Ghana has implemented NHI. So, you know, if Ghana has implemented NHI and they're using the coupon system, then you can't say NHI is bad when you're praising how they've implemented it differently. So, similarly in South Africa, we can implement the NHI. We just have to structure it in a way that's unique for South Africa and South African needs.
So, in terms of the structure at the moment, Doctor, are you comfortable with the structure as it stands at the moment?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Do I think it needs to be fixed? Absolutely. Do I think that Office of Health Standards Compliance report shows there's a problem in the public sector? Absolutely. Even the Minister of Health has acknowledged there's problems in the public sector. And obviously, he said there's a problem in the pricing in the private sector, and I'm including there's a problem of quality in the private sector as well that needs to be fixed. What else mentioned earlier, and the pricing component, I can answer it very quickly for you.
Sure.
The WHO has indicated that whether you've got 1 billion rand or 500 billion rand, you can still start an NHI. What you will do is obviously with 1 billion rand, you'll be able to buy less benefits, but you'll spread that across everyone to the best you can. So the bottom line is the issue about the money would be the reverse logic we have to apply. We ask the question, how much money do we have right now?
Mm-hmm.
And with that money, we then ask the question, how much of good health care can we buy with this available money? And not the other way around, where we say we need everything and anything I need, and now that's going to cost a fortune, and no, we can't afford that, so let's not do NHI. That's not the right logic. The right logic is, what can we do with the available money that we have right now? And we look the world over. Mm. Not everyone has implemented a full-blown NHI from day one. They've started small and then they've grown. The Department of Health has also made it clear that when they implement NHI, it's not going to be overnight applicable to all 60 million people in South Africa. They're going to start with the priority, those who are disenfranchised, those who need the additional care. They're going to start with those people, the vulnerable groups, etc. Start with them first so that they can get the care that they actually need. And then slowly they'll expand the benefits to the rest of the population over time.
So in terms of its introduction as it stands right now, Doctor, what is your understanding so that, and I know that it's, as you said, that we're not going to ever have a perfect implementation, at least in the beginning phases, but what are some of those considerations that are required now and needed now for us to have a decent rollout? Because it would be unfair of me and very selfish of me to say that no, NHI is definitely not a consideration. I'm not interested in it whatsoever because I might be able to afford my medical aid and that of my family, my immediate nuclear family, my wife and my three children. But I can't say that of my grandmother. I can't say that of my parents even. Obviously, I'm one of those people that's quite frankly agnostic about the whole system. All I really want is a system that works well.
What we need to accept is the current system is problematic. We need to fix it. We need to fix it so that we can introduce equity in the environment. NHI is that tool that can help us do that. It is not one of these big bang solutions kind of thing that overnight you can have a cure of the system. It's not like that. There's going to be quite a lot of legislation that need to be changed, etc. So this is going to be over a long period of time. The first step is the fund. Establish the fund, establish the proper governance structures you need. Because you've seen what happened with Eskom and the poor governance structures there.
Mm.
You've got to make sure the checks and balances are in place. If you want to put a regulator in place to keep a check that the NHI is running properly the way it should be run, let's put in the regulator there. And to me, it's like those are the details we'll wait for when the bill or the comes out after the review has been done. As someone's mentioned now, that there's a bill that's going to be tabled to Parliament. Let's wait for that. Let's come out. If we find weaknesses in that, guess what? We can go to Parliament and we can identify and show them where the weaknesses are and tell them to fix it in Parliament. It's not going to be the final version that will be fully implemented, you know, when it comes from Cabinet to Parliament.
So ultimately what you're saying there, Doctor, is let's get an introduction into the system, understand how the system is supposedly going to work, and then from there, through the mechanisms like that you yourselves have, the various other institutions that would obviously be commenting on the legislation and looking at the viability of the system, then we can criticize on whether it is going to be workable as a solution
exactly.
or not.
And I think the government has recognized that we need, this is not a big bang theory approach. What's going to happen is that it needs to be implemented in a responsible manner.
Fair enough.
You can't just go there, do a paintbrush job and say, now we've got a new system, all the solutions are gone. It's not going to be gone. You're going to have to take it step by step, identify what are the weak problems and start breaking those barriers down and start building new walls. Okay. We need to.
Fair enough. Mornay, I mean, based on what the doctor just explained there, I mean, the key question for me is if we do, you know, have all of those I's dotted and those T's crossed, I mean, surely then we do not have too much of a problem, because the key question is, and it seems that your concern also really is around implementation and how it is implemented, as opposed to an outright saying no, that we do not want this thing whatsoever. I mean, I find myself in a similar boat, and believe me, I am one of those people that's very concerned, very critical of NHI, but based on what Dr. Rajesh has proposed, I mean, that sounds to me not just as reasonable accommodations or reasonable concessions, they seem to me to make it, that would be essential to any equitable healthcare system.
Look, Gershwell, you mentioned earlier the need for an introduction to what exactly the bill might look like. We've already received that introduction in the 2011 bill and the later bill, which was then rejected by the cabinet. The shortcomings were profound and omnipresent. Even the Treasury, in a leaked letter, indicated various legal, economic, practical, and socio-political issues with the bill as it stands. And whilst the three of us might be very accommodating with regard to what system we would like to implement or how we would like to best leverage the healthcare system in order to equitably serve everybody, there has not been that, there's been no forthcoming leniency from actors such as Dr. Motsoaledi, the Minister of Health. He seems quite set on having a purely state-run healthcare system. He believes that private healthcare is in and of itself an evil. And moreover, I think we can't be too sanguine about the implications for funding. I mean, it's all well and good to say we can see what we can fund with a billion rand, but it's not really all that nice if your specific chronic disease isn't covered or your specific operation isn't covered, because that leaves you entirely helpless. At least in the current system, one has the option of going either to the public sector or attempting to raise funds in order to go into the private sector. And this is another point that we shouldn't overlook, is that within the current system, we already have universal healthcare access. Any one of us is free to walk into a public hospital and receive healthcare free of charge. It's just that the quality of the healthcare has been so poor that most South Africans have felt that the services simply don't justify showing up.
I mean, yes and no, because at the very same time, I mean, we know for a fact that the vast majority of South Africans access public health care, and it's very unfortunate. And I'm not going to sing the praises of public health care at the moment, because we do know that we have serious concerns and issues in that particular space. But I do think that the vast majority of people that do access public health care, people who are on chronic medication all the way from ARVs to treating diabetes to high blood pressure to simple old age related illnesses, people who end up in casualty wards on a day-to-day basis, the ones that walk away alive and well after the event, I don't think would necessarily hold the negativity that a lot of middle-class people have towards the public healthcare system. Now, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and sing the praises at the very same time, because I have serious concerns about public healthcare as it stands. But I mean, based on what Dr. Rajesh said, and Dr. Rajesh, you'll say if I'm misinterpreting or you know, miscommunicating what you said there. I mean, what he basically conceded to is that as the system stands at the moment, as it has been proposed, it is definitely problematic. There are certain things that we can do to improve the current system, but at the very same time, we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bath water, which, with all due respect, Mornay, it sounds that sounds what you are doing in this instance, that you're throwing out the baby with the bath water and not taking into account that there is possibility for adjustment in relooking this particular issue.
Not at all, Gershwell. I apologize if I created that impression. My intention is not to defend the status quo. I do believe that the status quo would be preferable to nationalized healthcare, but that doesn't mean there aren't changes that we can implement which could positively affect healthcare in South Africa. In fact, I do believe that we are it is completely necessary for us to implement change, but that change has to come in the form of having less government and not more government, seeing as we've seen how poor government has run. And we have to state it clearly that there is a healthcare crisis, and that the crisis is chiefly in public hospitals. You can't pretend like there's not an asymmetry in the level of care between the two. But you also cannot punish the private sector for delivering good service at the same time.
So just in short there, just to end off the conversation, Morne, and I will thank you for your contribution this evening. I mean, what healthcare system would you like us to go ahead with? I mean, is the current system not perfect, but fine as it stands? Are there certain adjustments that we can make to make it more equitable? Or do we leave it as it is?
Well, no, Gershwell, I completely think we do need some sort of reform, but that reform has to come in the form of incentivizing the private sector to serve a broader base of individuals rather than having the private sector eliminated and having government take its place. So really, any system which leverages incentives within the private sector so that they will serve a greater portion of the population is something I would support entirely.
100%. Thank you for your time. All the best to you, Morne.
Thank you very much, Gershwell. Cheers.
Dr. Rajesh, I mean, by way of a double header in essence, I mean, two questions that I have for you is, I mean, obviously, what is the system that you would propose we go ahead with when it comes to the introduction of NHI? And Morne also has a strong point in raising the fact that, look, we have had NHI legislation not passing muster, either with the National Assembly itself or alternatively, you know, with Cabinet, where basically, you know, Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi in his wisdom was sent back to the drawing board. I mean, that is a fair representation then to say that, listen, we've had a couple of introductions to the system. It has not even been approved and accepted by the very same government proposing the system. Therefore, it is in all likelihood going to continue to be problematic. Dr. Rajesh? Unfortunately, it seems that we lost the good doctor there. We'll just try to see if we can get him back just for the final question. 27 minutes to go before we get to 10.
02, SMS us now on 31702.
25 minutes left before we get to 10 o'clock. As I said, just giving Dr. Rajesh Patel an opportunity to wrap up, you know, his points and just those two questions that I had for you. I don't know if you heard them, Doctor, but very briefly, what my questions were is that, number one, you heard what Morne had to say about this issue surrounding NHI. Two introductions at the very minimum, you know, to the National Assembly and to Cabinet, at both times shot down at that stage already. Yep. Surely there is a concern around the implementation of NHI. What would then be your proposal for not a perfect but a workable rollout of NHI?
I think, you know, NHI has a function where you introduce benefits for the entire population, an insured benefit to the entire population. To me, the ideal model is to have a good structured NHI board committee selected where the checks and balances are there that you can trust. There's no bias in terms of its political affiliation and those type of things. Making sure there's a strong regulator also that monitors the activity. Just imagine Eskom if it didn't have NERSA to check, to keep check and balances on the kind of increases you and I would get. We'd have been in disaster right now. And similarly to me, perhaps all insurance companies have a regulator. Perhaps what we need is also a regulator. Our view at BHF is to be part of the process and to influence from within. And we've done that over the 10 years. And if I look at what's happened over the 10 years, a lot of BHF submission has worked their way somehow or the other into the system, into the thinking, into the policy influencing process. We don't think that, you know, the government won't listen. If you make a logical argument and it makes sense, they will embrace it. We've seen that over and over and over the last 10 years.
Of course.
Just because we support it doesn't mean we're going to accept anything thrown at us. Over the last few times, the white paper, the bill, etc., we've identified significant problems and we've submitted it in terms of those problems we identified, we suggested solutions, etc. I'm not sure what has been submitted and changed recently, or if it went to cabinet, what's coming out. When it comes up to parliament, we will review it. If we find significant flaws, we're going to highlight those flaws and we will present it to them so that we can fill in those gaps and to make sure when the NHI is established, it will probably be one of the biggest institutions in the country. We can't then afford a new reformed big institution to collapse in the country at all. Got to make sure that it's structured well, it delivers on its mandate. Yes, if there's a problem in the service provision, let's go out and fix that. Fixing the funding doesn't mean it fixes the service provision. NHI is just a funding vehicle, and people don't understand that. Fixing the funding vehicle doesn't mean you fix the entire system. What you're doing is fixing one aspect of the health system. It doesn't mean the other aspects do not need fixing.
100%.
So people mustn't think that you create an NHI and now all problems have disappeared. On the contrary, you still have to get the doctor to deliver the care the patient needs.
100%. On that basis,
you have a hospital available where patients need it.
Doctor, we'll leave it at that. Thank you so much for your time. All the best to you, okay?
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thanks. And